Hey, it's Jody Hamilton.
And Sean Smith-Pierce.
Here's a taste of what you might have missed from the Politics Bar.
Jody, I was listening to you this morning, filling in for Steph. You and Chris were debating, and just for the record, Jody is right. Chris's argument is that there is some truth to what's being said about the left being in their own information silo. Right.
Basically, we started talking about how Gavin Newsom has invited people on his podcast, High Up MAGA Guys.
Yeah. Well-known right-wing propagandists. That's what they are. Yeah.
And my argument is he shouldn't be inviting them because nobody on that side is listening to Gavin Newsom.
Right. It doesn't help to bring propagandists into a sphere where truth matters because they're just going to lie their asses off anyway.
Right.
So here is a public service message for Chris Lavoie. Jody Hamilton is right. Catch all that and more weeknights at the Politics Bar. Available through your favorite progressive radio station, your favorite podcast player, or online anytime at thepoliticsbar.com.
The government in America is back open, but our health insurance costs are still set to dramatically increase next year. Alex Lawson from Social Security Works explains why and what happens now. Welcome to Care Talk Live, where we talk about how healthcare works or doesn't work in America and get you answers. I'm Laura Packard, cancer survivor and healthcare advocate, here to help you. Please text or call in your health insurance and healthcare questions at 202-838-6837, and our experts will answer them in future episodes. Be sure to subscribe to my channel or podcast wherever you get your podcasts to get next week's show. In today's episode, we're talking about why health insurance prices are going up next year and what Congress has failed to do about it. So welcome Alex Lawson, the Executive Director of Social Security Works.
Thanks, Laura. Great to be here.
So let's start with the government was shut down and now the government is back open, but they did not pass any legislation to solve the problem of healthcare costs.
That is correct. They did nothing. And let's review sort of what happened. So earlier in the year, Donald Trump and the Republicans in Congress, they passed the Republican budget. They call the One Big Beautiful Bill. It's got a lot of other monikers, whatever you call it, the Republican budget. It's a fully partisan document. Every Republican in Congress virtually and the president, you know, this is their plan. And what their plan was, it's the largest cut to Medicaid in the history of the program. Coming out, it'll fundamentally be a different program. The destruction of Medicaid is not stating it too strongly. I don't think anyone has fully grasped the magnitude of what's coming. From that, you have rural hospitals, but also urban hospitals closing across the country. And they don't wait until, you know, you fall off the cliff. So that stuff's happening now. You have also, you know, the largest cut to SNAP in the history of the program. And it gets confusing because during the shutdown, Donald Trump just held the remaining SNAP benefits hostage so that he could continue to steal our health care. And so people might believe like, oh, well, everything's fine with SNAP now. No, largest cuts to SNAP in the history of SNAP. So the Republicans stole healthcare from 15 million people. They stole SNAP benefit, literally food off of the plates of the hungry, and a lot more. But they did all of that in order to give trillions of dollars in tax handouts to a bunch of billionaires, the richest people in the history of the world. They stole our health to give more helicopters to billionaires. Now, at the same time, during that fight, we were saying, you know, actually, it's 20 million people who are going to lose their health care because the Republicans, I mean, look what they're doing. they're stealing healthcare from 15 million people. So there's no way they're going to extend the subsidies that are necessary to keep the ACA or Obamacare going at the level where it is. So we were saying, you know, very reasonably that there was no way they were going to extend the subsidies, to which they took great offense. You know, they're like, you don't know what we might or might not do. And no, we did. We knew what they were going to do. And that's what the government shutdown was about. The two pieces, right? So it was rescind, get rid of the largest cut to Medicaid in the history of the program. Don't steal 15 million people's healthcare, rural hospitals collapsing across the country, nursing homes collapsing across the country. But at the very least, extend the Obamacare subsidies. And I'll tell you, Laura, in this town, in D.C., everyone was like, oh, well, you know, the Medicaid stuff is never going to happen because that's too much, you know, asking for them not to kill 51,000 people a year, according to Yale Public Health. That's too much. It's not realistic. But of course, they're going to extend the ACA subsidies because otherwise it'd be political suicide for them. So there is this sort of conventional wisdom that there is a sense of normalcy, right? Like that's basically the way that Trump has operated with impunity is under the cover of a bunch of well-paid media people who are talking about an era that doesn't exist anymore, normalcy or the way things are supposed to be. And, you know, I think people like me who are like, they're sociopaths who are stealing people's healthcare. They're killing people for money. Why would we expect them to do something different? You know, where people discount what we're saying right up until that's exactly what the Republicans are doing. So the government shutdown yielded nothing. There was neither pulling back from the cuts to Medicaid or some sort of extension of the ACA subsidies. In fact, what it yielded was a promise by Mike Johnson to not have a vote on extending the ACA subsidies. There was a promise given by Senator Thune, the leader in the Senate, for a vote, but there's no counting to 60. It needs 60 senators for that to pass. And Donald Trump has been whipping against it. He's been saying, no, don't extend the subsidies. So very difficult to see Republicans voting against Donald Trump, but that doesn't mean we stop fighting. And I think they did under Chuck Schumer stop fighting in the Senate. And that's you know, really sad, despicable even. You saw amazing proof of where the American people are in rejecting the Trumpist regime just previously with Democrats, you know, winning as a barometer of where people are. And so luckily in the House, Leader Jeffries has not stopped fighting. He has a discharge petition that would, again, only do that ACA extension, not the Medicaid. So it's even the best case scenario, and it's a super long shot, is that we find three Republicans. We've got a big list of 25 Republicans. We're going to do protests in their districts at their office. I think we have 18 set up as of now, demanding that they sign this discharge petition. And that would push a vote onto the House floor, which we think would probably pass. And then it's still on to the Senate, where it's very difficult to see the Republicans crossing the president because this is what they want. You know, they've shown their hand over and over again. So at some point, it's actually just about showing the American people just how bad things are going to be. And I think those premium increases, 200, 300, 400%, people are getting the hint now, like, wow, it's going to be bad. And that the Republicans have no incentive to do anything other than full steam ahead. This is what they want. They want to destroy Medicaid. They want to destroy Obamacare. They want to do all that so that they can give trillions of dollars to their billionaire buddies. The government in Washington, D.C. is not helping the people. And so the people really need to take it on ourselves to take care of ourselves, our communities, and look clear-eyed at what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now.
Thanks, Alex. I get my insurance through the Affordable Care Act, and I'm looking at 21% increases for my premiums next year. And that's on the low side. Like you mentioned, people facing 100% increases and so on. So there's going to be a vote in the Senate, but the discharge petition is to force a vote in the House. And so the vote in the Senate, there are probably not the votes to pass this right now. So like right now, if it all happened today, the vote in the Senate would fail and there will be no vote in the House because there aren't enough people signing on to the discharge petition. Is that correct?
Although the discharge petition just started. So but yes, that is correct. And we have some time. We'll be running our campaign. You know, we started last week. We'll be running it all the way, you know, we're going to keep going into January once it's already taken place, right? If you read Day in the Prospect, you know, you almost have a deadline of the end of January. But we're going to keep fighting, and we're going to try to make it as obvious for the American people of who's on whose side, and also as difficult for the Republicans to dodge this. And there is, at some level, you're seeing with a different discharge petition, with the Epstein file petition, there's some level of shame left within some Republicans because the president was, you know, absolutely whipping no on that vote and seems to have lost control of the Republicans in the House. And I would expect, you know, that might be a unanimous vote in the House. So, you know, it is very difficult to see how we could prevent the coming Republican healthcare apocalypse. But I do think that, you know, the alternative is giving up, and then there's no way that we can prevent it. So we have to keep fighting. The discharge petition gives us one thing that we can focus on in the House. The promised vote in the Senate is an incredibly important marker as well. But also, there's going to be a lot of really bad ideas that the Republicans are going to bandy about as like their solution. And we're going to have to keep elected Democrats honest, and not falling for these Republican, you know, red herrings, because they don't have a plan. You know that, Laura. In health policy, there's not that many plans to choose from. And like, they don't have one. Their plan is literally to rip healthcare away from people. They know that means people will die, and they'll say, oh, well, that's the market, market forces. What it is it's a eugenicist point of view, and the people who are going to die the most are those who need the most care. So you're talking about the oldest of the old, people with disabilities. The most vulnerable in our society are going to be the ones who get sicker and die at higher rates than previously. And again, I just, to make it really clear, that's the reality. That's what will happen. And the reason is so they can give tax handouts to billionaires, right? So it's literally selling the lives of the most vulnerable in our country to give tax handouts to billionaires. And it's despicable. And anybody who's involved in it is a despicable person.
So for anybody that's watching or listening right now, who should they be contacting and what should they be telling them? I mean, it sounds like you should be contacting your representative and telling them to sign on to this discharge petition. You should be contacting your senator and telling them to vote for this. But also, it all comes down to President Trump in the end. If President Trump supports some sort of remedy for lowering health insurance premiums, then they'll all get in line and vote for it. But if Trump does not support a solution, then it won't happen. So should people be contacting the White House?
I mean, if they want to, I think that Trump doesn't care about anything. I mean, if you have like $200 million laying around, you could donate it to the corruption ballroom that he's building. I mean, that's one way that to be honest, the health insurers should start donating to the ballroom kickback scheme for their own benefit as well. But I think that the best pressure, like, we haven't seen much success, right? But we do know, we've seen a little bit. We know a few things. If you cave, you lose, right? So caving is a loser's game. And all eight of the senators who caved are losers. That's, you know, that's just the facts on the ground. If you fight, you might not win, but you might win. And there is still some level of shame. It's really out there. But the discharge petition on the Epstein files showed that if there is enough public uproar, if people are making enough and are fed up enough with President Trump, and you saw this, you know, he was going on it, trying to intimidate and bully and you do what he does against the Epstein file disclosures until he couldn't anymore, until MAGA was just riven and said, you know, I'm not buying this. And that's when he sort of flipped and was like, oh, all right. So I think that's the path, is actually just uproar and to the people. And one of the big things that I haven't mentioned here is the disproportionate impact on MAGA voters. So like, it's actually almost, it's extremely like crazy when you look at the impacts, because the worst stuff is actually happening in the reddest states, right? Like Arkansas is where I saw the 900% premium increase, right? Like, it's MAGA country that is getting hit incredibly hard. The extended subsidies, not to do a whole history lesson, but it was a COVID era proposal. And, you know, people are like, oh, well, now COVID's over, and so it should be. And you're like, no, our dumb healthcare system is still dumb. Like, we didn't fix anything during COVID. It just recognized that what we have to do if we don't want an enormous amount of people to die is to make healthcare affordable for them, right? And what, you know, what I say is, you're like, just get rid of the insurers. That's it, right? Like, guarantee healthcare for everyone. We'll save $600 billion a year. But if you're not going to do that, then you have to actually make it affordable. And what we saw from then, from the implementation of the extended subsidies to now, is massive uptake of Affordable Care Act plans, especially in red states, in MAGA country. And so now when they're ripping those subsidies away to give tax cuts to billionaires, it is MAGA country. You know, it hurts everybody, but it is MAGA country who is going to get hurt the most. And I think that's where a lot of the effort should be in trying to create that public uproar against the president. Because, you know, he doesn't care what I think, but he might care what a bunch of his voters think. That seems to be what he cares about. So, you know, we want to bring this into those 25 targeted Republican districts and beyond, and create a public uproar. And I think that might be the only way to push President Trump to care about the carnage that he and his party have caused.
Well, thank you so much for that, Alex, and thank you for all the work that you're doing to fight for our healthcare. And speaking of healthcare, now I'm welcoming Louise Norris, health insurance and healthcare reform analyst at healthinsurance.org, and Diane Archer, the founder of Just Care USA, to answer your health insurance questions. And we have a lot of important questions for today. First, open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act runs until January 15th. But if you want to sign up for a plan for next year, that deadline is coming up shortly. So, Louise, what should people be doing if, like me, they're facing huge price increases on their insurance premiums for next year? What can people do about it?
Yeah, so this is a really tough situation. If you are going on the marketplace right now and looking at premiums, what you are seeing right now is the worst case scenario. You are seeing your premium with these subsidy enhancements gone, because unless, as Alex was explaining, unless Congress can figure out a way to reach a deal where they agree to extend these subsidy enhancements, they are going to expire on December 31st. which means the premiums you're seeing in the marketplace are without those subsidy enhancements. And just to give you an example, if you are a 55-year-old in Charleston, West Virginia, and you earn $63,000 a year, you can get the cheapest bronze plan this year for $7 a month. Next year, it's going to cost you $1,069 a month, literally a 15,000% increase. That is, now, if your income is lower, if this person earns, say, $30,000 instead of $63,000, they will continue to get a subsidy. It won't be as big as it would have been this year. So they will be facing an increase, but not of that sort of proportion. I just want to throw that example out there to give people an idea of how devastating these rate increases are for some people. It very much depends on how old you are, where you live, and how much money you earn. If you are looking in the marketplace right now and it keeping your current plan seems just completely unaffordable, I would really caution against dropping your insurance altogether or switching to a non-ACA compliant alternative. I understand there will be some people for whom that is the only possibility, but don't let yourself get sort of hoodwinked by plans that just are not going to provide the sort of consumer protections that you get in a marketplace plan. I have looked at lots of these sort of alternative ideas. I have not yet found a single one that provides the sort of consumer protections you get under an ACA compliant plan. So they either don't cover pre-existing conditions, or they don't cover all the essential health benefits, or they have a cap on how much they'll pay, which seems great until you find yourself diagnosed with cancer or MS, or saying you need a medication that costs $30,000 a month. You know, you just do not want to take that sort of gamble. So dropping down to, say, the lowest cost bronze plan is going to be a better alternative than switching to some alternative idea that you find outside the marketplace that maybe seems too good to be true, because it probably is. One thing I do want people to know about is that a new rule change for 2026 is that every bronze plan sold in the marketplace is HSA eligible, which means you can contribute to a health savings account if you have any bronze marketplace plan in 2026, and contributions to a health savings account will reduce your income. There's a special way that they calculate income under the ACA. They subtract health savings account contributions and pre-tax retirement account contributions. So if you're facing like that scenario I explained with this person in West Virginia who's making $63,000 a year, if they can get that income down to $62,000 a year, suddenly they will be eligible for a significant subsidy, not as much as it would have been this year, but they won't be facing that 15,000% rate increase. So that's something to keep in mind, is if you're willing and able to contribute to a health savings account, just know that every bronze marketplace plan will let you do that. And that might be a way to get yourself subsidy eligible. And keep checking back, because that's the other thing, is we don't know how this is going to unfold. December 15th is the deadline in most states to get a policy that takes effect January 1. But in every state except Idaho, open enrollment does continue until at least January 15th. And we have precedent from back in 2021 when they first created these subsidy enhancements. They did it later in the spring and made it retroactive to January. So even if December 31st passes and there's still no resolution, don't give up. Keep checking the marketplace. Keep looking at your premiums. Just keep paying attention, because it's possible this could get better. If it doesn't, unfortunately, we do know there's going to be several million people who just can't afford to keep their coverage.
And if they do come to some sort of solution sometime next year, if you are not signed up for an Affordable Care Act policy, you wouldn't be able to, right? Because you wouldn't be, it's just not having health insurance is not a qualifying event to register, right?
So that would depend on what they decided to do. The precedent we do have is from 2021 when they created these subsidy enhancements. They did open a special enrollment period at that point to let people take advantage of it. They're under no obligation to do that. So exactly as you say, if you skip it altogether, then, and if a deal comes down later in 2026, there's no guarantee that they would open a special enrollment period at that point. So yes, my advice is do whatever you possibly can to make sure you're enrolled in at least the cheapest bronze plan you can get. Catastrophic plans on the marketplace are also more widely available for 2026. For people who don't qualify for subsidies, they can enroll in those. Those are fully ACA compliant. They cover all the essential health benefits. They don't have any caps on how much the plan will pay. In some areas, they're less expensive than bronze plans, but they're pretty similar in coverage. So you can take a look at that and see if that's an option. But I would say getting yourself enrolled in the cheapest plan that's on the marketplace and making sure you have that in effect for January 1 is a better option than going uninsured, if at all possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that, Louise. Next, we're going to talk about open enrollment for Medicare, which runs until December 7th. So, Diane, what do people on Medicare need to know and need to do during open enrollment?
Okay. People with Medicare need to be looking at all their options right now. As you said, they have until December 7 to choose their Medicare option. They have a choice between Medicare Advantage and the traditional Medicare program, which is administered directly by the government. What everybody needs to know is if you have Medicare, the situation is still not great, but your premium is only going up. Nearly 10%, which is obviously still very significant for a lot of people. People who are challenged to pay that premium should look at whether they might qualify for Medicaid or Medicare savings program. It's getting harder to do so given the Republican budget bill, but it's still worth looking. There are a lot of people who are eligible for those programs who are not enrolled. Similarly, I believe for people under 65 in the marketplace, they may be eligible for Medicaid and not know it, and they might as well go check that option out, because if it works, it would be very much a worthwhile way to go. But with regard to Medicare, everybody is going to have to pay that Medicare Part B premium unless they qualify for Medicaid or a Medicare savings program. And that is whether you're in traditional Medicare or you're in Medicare Advantage. The Part B premium is for everyone. If you're in, if you're choosing a Medicare Advantage plan, what I have to say, and I'm sorry to say this, you are to some extent gambling with your health and potentially your life, because there are bad actor plans out there operating in ways that deny people medically necessary care. The insurers second guess treating physicians and delay and deny appropriate care to people who desperately need it. That's just something that has been very well documented. That's not to say you might not benefit from being in a Medicare Advantage plan this year, because it will save you some upfront out-of-pocket dollars. If you can afford traditional Medicare, there are no additional premium other than the Part B premium, but you will need, if you don't have Medicaid or a Medicare savings program, you will need supplemental coverage to fill gaps so that you are protected from catastrophic spending. That coverage can be relatively low, but still at several hundred dollars a year. So look at that option carefully if you can get it, because in traditional Medicare, you can choose the specialist you want to see. There's no prior authorization that you need to go through. The government does defer to your treating physician and to you when you want and need medically reasonable care. The government will cover it, and you can get your care anywhere in the country. So one final piece is the Part D plan that you choose, whether in Medicare Advantage or in traditional Medicare. You will see that there are a variety of Part D plans that cover your prescription drugs. These plans tend to be very different for different people. So if you're choosing a Medicare Advantage plan, you want to make sure that your drugs are covered through the Medicare Advantage plan's Part D plan. If you're in traditional Medicare, again, you want to check to see if your drugs are covered. No matter what plan you have today, traditional Medicare or Medicare Advantage, your Part D plan can change dramatically next year. So definitely take a look at that. And if you're in Medicare Advantage, everything about your Medicare Advantage plan can change next year. So you really want to look at all your options. One last thing, the government launched a provider directory to help people navigate and see which plan, if they're going into Medicare Advantage, might cover the doctors that they want to see. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of misleading information in provider directories. So don't assume because your doctor is in a, is listed in a directory that you will be able to see that doctor if you join a particular Medicare Advantage plan. Call the doctor's office and confirm that you will be able to see that doctor. You cannot be guaranteed that you will just by relying, unfortunately, on the directory on the Medicare website. So that's a whole lot. Final thing, actually, one more thing, which is the insurance agents. Unfortunately, the way commissions work, insurers pay higher commissions for insurance brokers to steer you to particular plans. Those plans may not be the best for you. In traditional Medicare, there is no commission. There's a commission sometimes for supplemental coverage, but it's much lower than the commission for Medicare Advantage plans. So again, do not rely exclusively on an insurance agent to decide what you want. Call an independent agent. The state health insurance assistance programs provide free assistance, as does Medicare Right Center. That number is 800-333-4114, 800-333-4114, or you can call your state insurance department for the number of your state health insurance assistance plan.
Thank you, Diane. And so if somebody is going to the Affordable Care Act exchanges, it will tell them if they're eligible for Medicaid. But is there anything like that on the Medicare side where, you know, if you are checking plans or whatever, does anything tell you if you are eligible for Medicaid or the other programs available to help pay your premiums? Or do you have to do the legwork yourself?
Great question. And the answer is, I believe in most instances, you're going to have to do the legwork yourself. But I want to go back to something Louise was mentioned, which is that it can be the case that even for the marketplace plans, you are not today eligible for Medicaid, but by spending your money in a particular way, you can ultimately qualify for Medicaid. So it is worth looking into that, even if you're not eligible right now. Many states allow you to spend down to qualify for Medicaid, which means you put your income towards healthcare. And then once you've spent a certain amount, you qualify for Medicaid. You can put your money in your home, and that is excluded from your Medicaid asset limit. And that can also, not immediately, but over time, allow you to qualify for Medicaid. So it's worth it if you're, you know, feeling like you cannot afford your health care to look into the possibility of qualifying for Medicaid.
Thanks. And there's still a month and a half left before the end of the year. So do the research, figure out what you qualify for next year. And if it means you need to defer some of your salary with your work until next year or set up a health savings account, you know, put more money aside through your retirement to bring down your income to make you eligible, you still have a month and a half to work on that, to figure it out, to get access to the health insurance subsidies that you need next year. So please take a look at your finances and figure this out so that you can keep your health insurance.
Really important.
Thank you, Diane. And thank you, everyone, for joining us to learn more about what's happening to our health insurance in America next year, whether you get insurance through the Affordable Care Act, Medicare, Medicaid, or other programs. Please text or call in your health insurance and healthcare questions at 202-838-8255. 6837 and we'll answer them in future episodes. Don't join us next week because next week is Thanksgiving, but join us in a couple weeks for more answers to your health insurance questions as Medicare open enrollment period winds down and as the Affordable Care Act open enrollment period is heating up. So be sure to subscribe to my channel or podcast wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Laura Packard, and this is Care Talk.
It's no surprise that newsmakers try to manipulate the audience. They want you to believe that they are the one holding the line and they'll use any trick they can to get you there. But don't let them fool you. Get unspun. I'm Amanda Sturgill. I've been a reporter, and today I teach future reporters to cut the spin and think critically about what newsmakers say. My podcast, Unspun, shows you how to know when you're being manipulated by the news. Learn to spot the tricks and how to make up your own mind about what's true. So if you're tired of being fooled by the news, subscribe to Unspun today. Unspun, because you deserve the truth.